From the heart of our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., bringing compelling interviews, insightful analysis, taking you beyond the headlines and sound bites into conversations with our nation's leaders and newsmakers, all from a biblical worldview. Sitting in for Tony is today's host, Jody Heiss.
Good afternoon. Hope you've had a fantastic week. Welcome to this Friday edition of Washington Watch. I am your Friday host, Jody Heiss, Senior Vice President here at the Family Research Council and President of FRC Action. We've got a lot coming your way today. With just 10 days to go until the election, the overarching message of the Harris campaign could not be more clear.
And I pledge to you, when Congress passes a bill to restore reproductive freedom nationwide, as President of the United States, I will proudly sign it into law.
Well, that was Vice President Kamala Harris. As you well know, that was her speaking at a campaign rally in Georgia last night. And as her campaign, frankly, has stalled, the Vice President has begun making more public appearances. But these campaign rallies have only highlighted that one issue because she simply can't run on the economy or immigration or public safety. Abortion remains her campaign's primary focus. I'll be talking about that with FRC's Meg Kilgannon here in just a few moments. And yesterday, an Ohio judge struck down pro-life protections in that state, ruling that these measures violate the state constitution, which Ohio voters amended last year following a very aggressive push from the abortion industry. Well, a local journalist in Ohio even recently referred to the state as an abortion mecca, after noting that following that constitutional amendment, the number of abortions for non-residents of Ohio more than doubled. So what warning does this send to voters in the 10 other states that are now considering an abortion amendment of their own next month? Well, I'll be talking about that with Aaron Baer, who's the president of the Center for Civic Virtue. And recently, Congressman Randy Weber from Texas sat down with Tony for an exclusive interview that is going to be featured in its entirety on FRC's new Stand Firm app, which I strongly encourage you to get. But this interview was so encouraging. I wanted to give you a sneak peek at it. We'll get that a little bit later in the program. And then finally, after a very, very busy week with the election now bearing down on all of us, David Clawson and I will examine the biblical response to a number of stories that are dominating the news and social media this week in our weekly Worldview segment. So yes, as always, we've got a lot coming your way. But again, I referenced it just a moment ago, but let me say it again by way of reminder. FRC Action has released a 2024 voter toolkit, and it's all yours at the Stand Firm app. I want to strongly encourage you to get that app. We've got so much available there for you. But this election voter toolkit has all sorts of incredible information there for you, including voter guides, prayer guides, party platform comparisons, and much more, much more. It's there for you, and it's also there for you to pass along to others. It's yours. Simply text the word toolkit, and that's one word. Make sure you have it, one word, toolkit, to 67742 and take advantage of that. And, of course, our website is tonyperkins.com. Tons of resources always available there for you, so check that out, tonyperkins.com. All right, let's jump into our first story. As we all know, the presidential race heads into the final stretch now, and Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign continues to push abortion as their overarching theme. No question about that. In fact, at a campaign rally outside Atlanta last night, Vice President Harris peddled lies about the cause of death of a young woman in Georgia who suffered as a result of a doctor's extreme medical incompetence after she took the chemical abortion drugs out of state. But this fits a pattern of pushing this false narrative from the left, blaming it on pro-life laws rather than what it was, the abortion pill. Well, we want to get more into the details of all of this. And joining me now to set the record straight is Meg Kilgannon, Senior Fellow for Education Studies here at the Family Research Council. She served previously the Department of Education during the Trump administration. Meg, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always great to see you.
Thanks, Jody. It's great to be here.
Okay, we are less than 2 weeks away from Election Day. What do you make of the Harris campaign strategy to make abortion their top priority?
I think this is officially what they call silly season in politics, isn't it? The idea that the American people want to hinge their vote on an issue like abortion, I think just shows somewhat is that the campaign and the Democratic Party in general is very out of touch with what the very real needs of American citizens are. And honestly, we've never been a country that solves our problems by killing people who are inconvenient. And I just don't think that this is a very becoming approach for her, or I think it reflects that her opinion of the American people is rather low.
I think that's a good point. I think it, and I mentioned this coming into the program tonight, she can't talk about the economy or the border or national security or crime. It seems like this is all she has to talk about. And it's alarming, as you said. Now, I talked about this a moment ago, Meg, and I've conversations with you. I don't know of anybody who knows this situation any better than you do. But the lie that Vice President Harris pushed last night, that there's women dying who took the chemical pills, but the whole problem is pro-life laws. Can you please just walk us through this and set the record straight as to what is really happening with these women who are dying?
Yeah, this really is heartbreaking, and it is so incredibly irresponsible for, you know, as a woman, for her to make these arguments. I just find this so offensive, because what happened to this young woman in Georgia, for example, who's died, she's left an orphan of her six-year-old child because she found herself pregnant. She went to North Carolina to have an abortion, a surgical abortion, and she was late for her appointment, and they gave her an abortion pill and sent her home to have the abortion herself. So the people who are pushing abortion pills have turned every woman's home into a back alley, first of all. But second of all, what the fear around the abortion pill and that they have created over the fact that people are trying to protect life in many states across the country means that if a woman is having intense cramping or she's suffering heavy bleeding as a result of having taken this pill, they're often discouraged from seeking help. And they're often encouraged, if they do seek help, to lie about the fact that they have taken these pills. So for me, as a woman who used to teach natural family planning, and I had many clients who had conditions like endometriosis that cause intense cramping, and these women go on with their lives. It's not like you you don't call in sick for a week. You go on with your life. Women are very strong and capable, and we can handle a lot of hardship in our lives. And so I can very easily put myself in the place of this woman who had this horrible situation and maybe didn't seek help as soon as she should have, for a whole variety of reasons. And she died, not because Georgia is protecting babies in the womb, but because the doctors who treated her and the people who talk about this issue so divisively have lied to her and failed in their duty to serve the most vulnerable among us, including the health care needed by her unborn child.
So how concerned are you, Meg, and how concerned should we be that this false narrative ultimately is just going to harm more and more women and potentially lead to more deaths?
I think we should be very concerned. This regime of drugs is one that sends 1 out of 20 women who take it to the emergency room. So I think that we should be very concerned, because more and more often, it's not a surgical abortion that takes the life of a child, but a drug-induced abortion like this one. So for the Democratic Party to campaign on this issue this way is just really, really irresponsible, dangerous. It's disrespectful to women.
It's frightening to me. I don't know how else to describe this. When you blame pro-life laws on the death of individuals who are taking this pill that, as you said, I mean, one out of 20 people end up in the emergency room.
Right, right. And this is so typical of the way the Democratic Party is doing any kind of politics right now. They do the same thing when they talk about a much less serious issue, for example, but student loans. You know, they try to forgive all these loans. They come up with all these harebrained schemes that even the Supreme Court says, no, you can't do that. And they continue and they continue, which means that no one can have a conversation about what to do about student loans, right? And it's the same thing with this issue. No one can have a conversation about how to serve women and how to help families, how to hold men responsible for the babies that are being killed in the womb, the men who help create them, right? We're not having any of those conversations because we have to correct the record on the lies that are constantly told about the abortion pill and abortions in general. And so it's a disservice to this nation. It's a disservice to Americans everywhere that the Democratic Party is conducting itself this way. And it shows you that they really just don't care about American people.
So what would you say to those Christian voters who may be talking with neighbors, friends, children, church friends, whatever? Here we are just two Sundays to go before the election. I know there's a lot of conversation out there. What advice would you give right now to those voters who are going to be in conversations here these next 10 or 11 days?
Well, I would say to be very careful when you speak about this in terms of being sure to love your neighbor and understand that abortion has been legal in this country for 50 years, and there are many, many women who have had abortions. So always speak with compassion and care, but always speak the truth. That there is so much more for you than the problems that are caused by the consequences of our sins, and we all commit them. And that the America is a place where you can achieve your dreams, where you can have a great life. And we have so much more for people than these lies around abortion. And as Christians, we must engage this culture, this godless culture that we live in. And that means we must vote, we have to pray, we have to vote, we have to stand for what's right. And we're going to have uncomfortable conversations with people, but we should always do so with great love and great empathy for other people. But that doesn't mean that you can avoid having them. You must have the conversations.
Yeah, we've got to have the conversations. I mean, who would ever imagine that we'd be dealing with multiple issues that we're dealing with these days? The conversation has to be spoken. And when truth is taken out of the equation, the only other option is for lies to enter in.
Right.
And those lies have devastating consequences.
We so often forget that we have the good news. We have the good news of God's love.
Absolutely, we do. Meg Kilgannon, always great to have you on Washington Watch. Your leadership and expertise in so many ways, greatly appreciated. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jody.
All right, friends, we got a lot more coming your way. You've just heard some of the issues of how Kamala Harris and the Democrats are pushing abortion above everything else. Well, there are consequences when states like Ohio change the state constitution to allow abortion. And the consequences, the tentacles of that decision go multiple directions. We want to bring you specifics about that and what's happened in Ohio right after the break. So don't go anywhere. More Washington Watch coming your way.
Let's not be discouraged. Don't lose heart. Don't lose the faith. Stand now strong, because the Lord has given us the great privilege of living in a time when our choices matter, when our lives matter, when our courage matters. So let's stand together and save this great country. God bless the United States of America.
The American Republic has a freedom like no other. It has roots in the scriptures far more than any other heritage. And if we as followers of Jesus and conservatives don't defend it, who will?
Neutrality is not an option. There are many Christians who believe that if we just keep our heads down, if we just don't say the wrong thing, that somehow we will come out of this unscathed. You're naive if you think that, because what they want from us is not our silence. What they want from us is our submission.
Part of the dilemma of Christianity in our generation is that we've relied a little too much on human wisdom and human reasoning, human strength, human resource, and we've relied too little on the power of God and God's ability to open doors that we can't open and do things that we couldn't even hope to begin to do.
This may not be an easy task, but we are living in a moment of challenge, but also of great opportunity. And we know always that we are not alone, that His Spirit empowers us and protects us, and that He can do the unimaginable. Dobbs, after all, was never supposed to happen.
Father, we thank You. You have entrusted us with this moment in history, and I pray that we would be found faithful, and that as a result of our faithfulness to You, that thousands, millions would come into the kingdom as they would experience the forgiveness of sin and the new life that is found only in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hello, I'm Jody Heiss, president of FRC Action. Here in America, we thank God for the right to vote, and we can all agree on the importance of this upcoming election. Many of us want to support candidates who share our values, but we're not comfortable supporting the big national political organizations. Well, we have a solution for supporting candidates through FRC Action's Faith, Family, and Freedom Fund. Being a super PAC, it allows for unlimited individual and corporate donations, so we can endorse and fund campaigns for people who share our values. By giving to this fund, we're able to pull all of our contributions together and support and endorse like-minded candidates. That's how we move the needle. So let's be the best stewards possible and get the most out of our political contributions by uniting our efforts. For more information or to contribute, visit Faith Family Freedom Fund. Thank you so much for joining us today on Washington Watch. Welcome back. I am your Friday host, Jody Heiss. All right, yesterday, an Ohio judge permanently blocked the Buckeye State's heartbeat bill and other pro-life protections, and basically just said that the state laws now violate a constitutional amendment that was passed by Ohio voters last year. And some of the protections are just simply common sense things, but now they cannot be applied. Things like having a doctor check for a baby's heartbeat before performing an abortion. Things like informing parents when their babies are viable. Things like waiting 24 hours after seeing a doctor before undergoing an abortion that obviously is going to kill the baby. These are common sense type measures. But now a judge has determined all of these are unconstitutional in the state of Ohio. And as we have 10 different states now that are considering various types of abortion initiatives on their ballots coming in November, what kind of warning should be sent to those states as a result of what has happened now in Ohio? Well, joining me now from Ohio to discuss this is Aaron Baer. He's the president of the Center for Christian Virtue. Aaron, thanks for joining us. Great to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jody.
All right, so what's your reaction to this judge's decision, specifically the call to strike down various pro-life provisions that would not block an abortion, they're just pro-life provisions?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it's just heartbreaking, right? I mean, at the end of the day, all of us in the pro-life movement are involved in this fight because we care about the little ones that God has knit together in the womb. And so at the end of the day, this decision made by this judge is going to cost tens of thousands of lives in Ohio. It's also frustrating because we spent last year fighting to educate voters about the true radical nature of a constitutional amendment that was proposed. And we were fighting millions of dollars from foreign-backed entities and the media and all of their disinformation about the implications of this abortion amendment. And this is the first domino to fall of many to come, of not just restricting and the state's ability to limit dangerous late-term abortions and really any abortions for that matter, but also common sense health and safety regulations. Jody, you kind of referred to these things. There's ongoing litigation in other cases around requirements that says that only doctors are allowed to do abortions. You can't have non-doctors performing abortions. And stripping away protections on chemical abortions. Those types of things are all at risk now because of this abortion amendment.
So you referred to this, and I think it's a great word picture of this being a domino effect, or at least a potential domino effect. And of course, this judge's decisions reflects the change to the Ohio Constitution that was enacted last year. But now we have voters in 10 different states that are facing similar type ballot initiatives here in the next couple of weeks. Should they look to Ohio now as a warning for what potentially could happen in their states?
That's absolutely right. I think the big thing is what you see happening in these other states is a very similar playbook to the one they put out here in Ohio, where the ads they would say is, oh, this is about rape and incest abortions, or this is about these really obscure cases around abortion. And don't get me wrong, every abortion is wrong and takes the life of a child. But the media was really deflecting what was happening. And we spent a lot of time here in Ohio trying to say, no, here's the true reality of it. Well, I think now for states like Arizona, like Florida, like Nebraska, all these states that have these abortion amendments before them, they can now look to Ohio and see the bait and switch that they pulled here in the state. And hopefully they can change course. And I will say in states like Florida and Arizona and Nebraska in particular, those three, they have some advantages built in for them right now that gives me some hope they'd have the ability to win. And you know, hopefully what's happening here, the ugly and devastating truth of what's actually happening in Ohio because of this abortion amendment can give those pro-lifers a little bit more ammunition to get the truth out there.
Yeah, a great point. And, you know, I referenced a journalist, I don't have the name, but referring to Ohio now as an abortion mecca, that's pretty strong terminology, and specifically noting the non-resident abortions have doubled in Ohio. Again, your thoughts on that issue, and I'm sure, again, you would say the same thing for the other states to take warning, because this is coming for those other 10 states as well if they're not careful.
Yeah, I mean, really, Ohio, unfortunately, is in a really tough place. Because we're surrounded by so many other states, you know, Indiana is a very pro-life state, but Cincinnati is just right over the border there, right? Same thing, Cincinnati and Kentucky, that whole tri-state area are very close to one another. And so now we've only seen the numbers from 2023. We haven't seen the numbers from this year, and it's going to be even worse. And again, is this the type of thing people want their state to be known for? Is that this is the place you come for your daughter, where your daughters can be taken to get abortions without your knowledge or consent. That's the reality of how radical these abortion laws are and what's happening to the Buckeye State. And this is, for us, the beginning of telling the true story of this abortion amendment, hopefully to get voters to see that they've gone down a dangerous and deadly path and that we need to pull back.
Absolutely. You know, I think viewers and listeners alike, probably some of them at least, will remember you and I spoke about this here on Washington Watch before all this was happening in Ohio. But now it's happened. You're dealing with it. Your final thoughts, especially to those voters in 10 states that are dealing with similar measure, what would you say to them?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, we have to focus on the things, the truth of these abortion amendments, right? Telling the really radical nature of what they do. And also, you know, again, continue to stand on principle about the value of every unborn life, the sanctity, the dignity, the beauty of children. That message is so important. We need to continue to carry it no matter what happens with these abortion amendments. I think another thing too, though, Jody, that's just as important is that you're seeing right now the left try to use the abortion issue to attack candidates, to try to get them to back off of their stance for their pro-life views. And really, you're seeing those messages really failing. People like Bernie Marino here in Ohio running for U.S. Senate. Sherrod Brown's running nonstop ads attacking Bernie for being pro-life. And Bernie's pulling ahead in the polls. So for political leaders, you need to hold fast to what you know is true. And for the pro-life activists out there, you need to continue to get out there and expose, because you can win these things. I really do feel good.
Absolutely.
About looking in these other states.
Life is a winning message. It really is. Amen. People just have to understand it. Thank you, Aaron Baer from the Center for Christian Virtue. Always great to see you. Thank you for coming on the program and for your incredibly powerful stance. We appreciate it.
Grateful for you, Jody, and all of FRC.
Thank you. All right, much more Washington Watch coming your way right after the break. Stay tuned.
Everything we do begins as an idea. Before there can be acts of courage, there must be the belief that some things are worth sacrificing for. Before there can be marriage, there is the idea that man should not be alone. Before there was freedom, there was the idea that individuals are created equal. It's true that all ideas have consequences, but we're less aware that all consequences are the fruit of ideas. Before there was murder, there was hate. Before there was a Holocaust, there was the belief by some people that other people are undesirable. Our beliefs determine our behavior, and our beliefs about life's biggest questions determine our worldview. Where did I come from? Who decides what is right and wrong? What happens when I die? Our answers to these questions explain why people see the world so differently. Debates about abortion are really disagreements about where life gets its value. Debates over sexuality and gender and marriage are really disagreements about whether the rules are made by us or for us. What we think of as political debates are often much more than that. They're disagreements about the purpose of our lives and the source of truth. As Christians, our goal must be to think biblically about everything. Our goal is to help you see beyond red and blue, left and right, to see the battle of ideas at the root of it all. Our goal is to equip Christians with a biblical worldview and help them advance and defend the faith in their families, communities, and the public square. Cultural renewal doesn't begin with campaigns and elections. It begins with individuals turning from lies to truth. But that won't happen if people can't recognize a lie and don't believe truth exists. We want to help you see the spiritual war behind the political war, the truth claims behind the press release, and the forest from the trees.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to Washington Watch. I am your host, Jody Heiss. Great to have you on board with us. And listen, just in case you've not already done it, I'd really like to encourage you to download FRC's Stand Firm app. Now, we call it an app, but really it's a whole lot more than that. It's literally a platform. It serves as a state-of-the-art digital community, literally, where followers of Christ can connect, grow, receive encouragement, stay up to date on news from a biblical worldview perspective, and be empowered to defend the faith. So we want to encourage you to download it. You can do so by going to the App Store or Google Play, wherever you get your apps. But you can also simply text the word APP, A-P-P, to 67742. You will love this app, so be sure to get it right away. All right, as I shared last week, we have a limited series on the Stand Firm app that we're calling Defending the Faith, Profiles in Leadership. It's a series that features exclusive sit-down interviews that go beyond policies and politics. And as you may recall, last week, we made available Tony's interview with Florida Congressman Greg Stube. Well, this week, we have Texas Congressman Randy Weber. And I'd like to give you a preview of that interview, during which, right here, you'll see Congressman Weber shares how he came to faith in Christ.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that faith. Now, you and I have interacted quite a bit, and I know that you are a man of deep, abiding faith. I've seen it in your prayers. Let's talk about that encounter that you had with God. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, I grew up in the 60s, child of the 60s, flower power, drugs. I was into drugs, very deeply into drugs. I was actually selling drugs. I was a small town drug dealer selling marijuana by the lid. We'd buy pounds at a time. We'd sell lids.
Well, now you're just being business.
Now I'm being business, yeah. I know. LSD, uppers and downers. I mean, I was really your basic booger head. Well, I was living with a girl. We were selling drugs out of her apartment, and a friend of mine named Jeff Wilson used to come by and buy marijuana from us. He came by one night, and he knocked on the door, and he said, "Randy, I got something I want you to try." I thought it was some kind of new drug or something. You know, he said, "I want you to go to church with me." And I said, "Jeff Wilson, you have lost your mind." I mean, I grew up in a family that went to church twice a year, whether we needed it or not. You know the scenario.
Right.
And But my girlfriend wanted to go to church, so we went there to a church that was on fire, taking people in off the street into their own homes, getting them off of drugs, of prior homosexuals, prior drug addicts, as I said, maybe the marriage in shambles, prior alcoholics, down on their luck, out of a job. They really loved Jesus, and it showed. It really showed. There was a guy there, a second guy named Jeff Cawthorn with a real deep voice that was kind of praying for us and loving on us. Long story short, my girlfriend got saved and kicked me out of her apartment.
And so where'd that leave you?
I started searching. I was going to play search because I knew there was something more powerful here than me, you know. And I was working as a welder's helper in a construction facility. And so I started playing church. I quit smoking, drinking, cussing, telling bad jokes, although my kids today say, "Dad, you still tell some pretty bad jokes." I said, "I'm talking about dirty, not bad. Yeah. And so long story short, my girlfriend was at my mom's house. I moved back in with my parents on July 2nd, 1973. I was born the first time July 2nd, 1953, reborn July 2nd, 1973. But anyway, I got home. My mom and my girlfriend was there with my mom, cooking me a birthday dinner. The guys at the chemical plant, when I quit smoking and drinking and cussing and all that, they were merciless on me. Man, they were tough on me. You can just imagine. So they convinced me to go out to the bar. But it's my birthday, Weber. Come on, go to the bar, which I did. Back to smoking, drinking, cussing, telling bad jokes, things I hadn't done in 4 months. I was playing church those four right. months, Tony. So I get home, my mom gives me a living, first, I didn't even own a Bible. First Bible, gave me a living Bible. I'm walking down the hall from the kitchen to my bedroom, and the Lord says to me, "Read Ephesians 5. Well, I didn't know if Ephesians, I didn't know where Ephesians was, Old Testament or New Testament. So what did I do? I go to the table of contents. It's in the Old New Testament. I didn't know if Ephesians had five chapters, got six. Paul writes, living Bible, that's come to our attention that you, some of you have fallen, I'm paraphrasing, have fallen back into your old ways. And it talks about dirty stories, coarse jokes. These are not for you. And later on in Ephesians, it says, "Arise, O sleeper, and Christ will give you light." Man, I got down on my knees and I said, "Lord, you're talking directly to me. Please come into my life and be my personal Savior." I rose, went down on my knees as on the way to hell, died in the wool center. Got up a child of the King. I walked down the hallway into where my girlfriend, my mother was, and she said, "You've been crying." I said, "I just got saved." She goes, "Wow." The phone rings in the kitchen. Now, that was the house built in 72, so it was orange for Mica countertops. It was the phone like this.
The old rotary.
Oh, absolutely. And it was Jeff Cawthorn, deep voice. He said, "Randy?" I said, "Yeah, Jeff. Just calling to tell you how glad I am you just got saved." I spun around to my girlfriend. I said, "This is Jeff on the phone. He knows I just got saved. Did you call him?" And she said, Jeff who? Which Jeff? Jeff Cawthorn or Jeff Wilson?" I said, "No, this is Jeff Cawthorn. He knows I just got saved." She said, "Well, praise the Lord. Tony, God put a stamp on my life. You'll never doubt. You'll never forget. That's how I came to be a child of the King, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."
A powerful, powerful testimony indeed. A dear friend of mine, we were in a Bible study together during my time in Congress. That was Congressman from Texas, Randy Weber, in an exclusive sit-down interview in the Profiles in Leadership series on the Stand Firm app. Be sure to get the app, friends. Get the app. Go to your favorite app store, get Stand Firm, or text the word APP, A-P-P, to 67742. You'll want to hear it all. All right, coming up next, our Biblical Worldview segment. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Jesus said in John 15, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full." In 2024, in these divided and uncertain times, how can this be possible? By abiding in Him through His Word. At Family Research Council, we want to help you do that, which is the reason for the Stand on the Word Bible Reading Plan. In just 10 to 15 minutes each day, you will have read the entire Bible in just 2 years. But more importantly, you will be abiding in Him daily. Find our Bible reading plan at frc.org/Bible. And join Tony Perkins each weekday for a 10-minute devotional inspired by the daily reading and designed to encourage you on this journey through the Bible. Listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever.
The world is hurting. Streets are filled with crime. Families are broken. Sin is celebrated and God is mocked. Everywhere we look, the wages of our sin are on full display. As Christians, we know that surrender to God's will is the solution to our biggest problems, but not everyone agrees. Even in church, we hear people say the most important thing is to be tolerant, that we shouldn't impose a morality on other people, and that loving our neighbor means celebrating what they do. But you can't do that. It's not that you don't love your neighbor, you do. But you care about God's opinion more than your neighbor's opinion, and this makes you different. In fact, sometimes it makes you feel alone, like you're the only one. But there is good news. You are not alone, not even close. Research has found that there are 59 million American adults who are a lot like you. There are millions of people around the country who are born again, deeply committed to practicing their faith, and believe the Bible is the reliable word of God. But that's not all. They're also engaged in our government. They're voters. They're more likely to be involved in their community, and they're making a difference in elections. The problem is that a lot of them feel alone too. We want to change that. FRC wants to connect these 59 million Americans to speak the truth together, no matter the cost. If you want to learn more about this group and what it means to be a spiritually active, governance-engaged conservative, or if you want to find out if you are one of these sage cons yourself, go to frc.org/sagecon and take the quiz to find out. The world is hurting, and we have the solution. We can't do it alone, but we can do it if we work together. That's what we're working toward every day. Join us. Go to frc.org/sagecon, SageCon, to learn more. That's SageCon, SageCon, to learn more.
Welcome back. So glad to have you on this Friday edition of Washington Watch. I'm Jody Heiss, and welcome aboard. All right, you just saw on the profiles of leadership one of the exclusive things that we have on the app, the Stand Firm app. You saw Congressman Randy Weber. Incredible testimony, incredible guy. I encourage you to check that out. But I also want to remind you that FRC has just released its 2024 Voter Toolkit. Folks, a voter toolkit. That's right. It's got everything in it. It's a comprehensive group of resources to help you prepare for Election Day and to help you help others do the same thing. And guess what? It's available on the Stand Firm app. You want to be sure to get that app. There's so many resources there for you. But this particular toolkit has voter guides. There's an election prayer guide. There's a party platform comparison, so much more. And you can get it at the Stand Firm app. You can get that app at your favorite app store or text the word toolkit. That's one word, toolkit, to 67742. All right. Speaking of election toolkits, we are now in the official final sprint, literally, to the November 5th election. And the candidates are crisscrossing one another all over the country, making their final pitch to voters. And although I think it's pretty clear that we have a pretty good idea of where the major candidates at least stand on the issues, there are certainly still some moments in the campaign that gives us fresh glimpses that help clarify the worldview of the candidates. And we saw a few of those examples this week. And to break down some of those from a biblical worldview perspective, as always on Fridays, glad to be joined by David Clawson. He's the director of FRC's Center for Biblical Worldview. David, welcome back to Washington Watch. Always good to have you on Friday.
Oh, great to be with you. Thank you, Jody.
All right. Look, before we get going, I know you are yet again on the road speaking at one of FRC's worldview workshops. And I think if I'm not mistaken, you're actually in between sessions right now. I hope you're not missing a session. Can you tell us what's going on there?
Absolutely. Well, thank you. Thankfully, Joseph back home is teaching right now, Jody. We're just about an hour outside of Columbus, Ohio. We were in Pittsburgh yesterday. And it's just a joy to kind of take our worldview workshop on the road. We have about 50 pastors from the area. And we, Joseph and I, we each give four lectures on worldview and how that deals with issues related to life and sexuality and marriage and transgenderism and critical theory, and just to be able to preach and teach and kind of equip these ministry leaders to do that in their own local context. And so, again, it's just a joy to be able to be on the road and learn how the Lord is just at work all over the country.
Well, and it's exciting for us at FRC to see reports and people making comments and writing us, telling us how powerful those workshops are. So, I mean, hats off to you. Y'all just keep the torch ablaze. All right, let's transition if we can. Earlier this week, Vice President Harris, Kamala Harris, sat down with NBC's Haley Jackson for a pretty wide-ranging interview. But here we are at this point in the campaign. I think Americans obviously know that Kamala Harris is running literally on a pro-abortion platform. But she went a little bit even further than that this week in that particular interview. And I want to get your reaction. Let me first play this little clip and then see what you have to say about it. Clip four, please.
If you win, it is entirely possible that Congress will be controlled by Republicans. So what specific concessions would you be willing to make in order to get something done on abortion access as soon as possible?
Well, first of all, look at what has happened since the Dobbs decision came down, a decision that is a direct result of the fact that Donald Trump hand-selected three members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention they would undo the protections of Roe. They did as he intended, and now in 20 states we have Trump abortion bans, which some make no exception for rape or incest.
Wow. All right, give me your reaction.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you're right, Jody. If you don't know that that is kind of the sole issue that Kamala Harris has been running on since she, you know, kind of took the nominee position from Joe Biden, well, you've been living under a rock. This really is the only issue that she has been consistent and clear and energetic. Even today, she joined forces with Beyonce to do a rally in Texas where pretty much, Jody, the main issue that they campaigned on is abortion. And I think we just need to be really clear as Christians. You know, 8 years ago in 2016, Hillary Clinton became the first nominee to come out publicly and say she would be in favor of getting rid of the Hyde Amendment. And I think rightfully when that happened 8 years ago, we were all outraged. We need to realize that Hillary Clinton's position on abortion looks tame in comparison to the Harris-Walz ticket. They are the most ardent, energetic supporters, Jody, to ever run for president and vice president of the United States.
Yeah, it's stunning. Like you said, I mean, literally having an abortion rally today in Houston. It's like, is there no other issue that she is concerned about as we're watching literally the world virtually fall apart, our borders just wide open, crime soaring, the economy hurting? It's stunning that this is the one and only main issue. But let me just say to Haley Jackson's credit, you don't usually see this. You don't typically see anyone in the mainstream media push back on an answer, particularly when there's a left-wing candidate like this. But to her credit, Haley Jackson pushed back with a follow-up. Again, let me get this clip three. Let's play this.
What concessions would be on the table? Religious exemptions, for example, is that something that you would consider?
I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body.
Whoa, that's pretty big. All right, how do you respond to that one?
Well, Jody, that's a bombshell. And again, credit to the anchor for actually following up. And for her to say no concessions. And then the reporter said, well, what about religious exemptions? And what does that practically look like, Jody? Well, that could be a Christian doctor or a Muslim nurse or a Jewish physician assistant who, you know, they're in a hospital or a medical facility, and because of their faith that they cannot go forward and partake in an abortion. This happens, Jody. And what Kamala Harris is saying is that even religious liberty claims that is not important. Abortion is the sole right. And what's interesting, Jody, in this country, we actually in our First Amendment say that religious freedom is our first freedom. And yet, clearly, according to Kamala Harris, even our first freedom is not as important as the sacrament of abortion. And I think we need to realize that. that abortion has been elevated to this almost quasi-religious position in the modern-day Democratic Party, Jody. And again, we've kind of already known this about Kamala Harris. When she was a senator, she voted against the Pain Capable Act that would have provided protections for babies when they can feel pain. She voted against a piece of legislation that would provide legal protections for babies who survive botched abortions. So to her credit, in one sense, she's been consistent. But my goodness, Jody, that interview, it should send chills down the spine of every Christian to realize that if Harris is in the Oval Office on January 20th, the abortion lobby will have the most energetic supporter that they have ever had.
Yeah, and it really is. I think that's a good description. It should send chills up the spine of everyone, whether you are pro-life or not. The fact that she would come out saying there should be no concessions, that no one, even with religious convictions, should be allowed to hold their view and not participate in the abortion industry and whatever it may be, whatever category. No concessions for that. That means it would be a crime in her eyes, I'm assuming, for anyone to violate. And where does it stop? Abortion now. Later, if the First Amendment is going to be tossed out now over abortion, there will be other issues to come ahead where the First Amendment no longer would apply and religious liberties would no longer apply. Is that an accurate potential possibility of where this could go?
Well, Jody, it's not hypothetical. Democrats in Congress and Kamala Harris on this campaign, they're in full support of legislation known as the Equality Act that would prioritize these contested claims of sexual orientation and gender identity. We've mentioned this before on the broadcast, Jody. This is a piece of legislation when you were a congressman. You voted against this because this is legislation that specifically carves out these claims of sexual orientation, gender identity, whenever they come into conflict with a religious liberty claim, guess what wins? It's the sexual orientation, the gender identity claims. And so absolutely, you see the left. And again, this used to be an issue we could all agree on, Jody, that people should be free to believe what they want to in terms of doctrine and theology and have the freedom to order their lives according to their deepest convictions. This is as American as apple pie. And yet the modern left is raising abortion and the LGBT revolution over religious freedom. And this is not going to end well for our country, Jody.
No, it's certainly not. It's certainly not. And, you know, another issue that, I mean, look, 10 years ago, less probably, most people never heard of, certainly had never thought of. But in this same interview, another issue came up, and that is on the topic of transgenderism. Of course, this is an issue that both sides have been speaking of. Former President Trump has been pounding her on this, literally. But I want to play yet one more clip and get your reaction as to how the vice president answered this question about what the left refers to as gender-affirming care. Clip five,
the question,
please.
Of your beliefs, what you believe in. Let me ask you this question very broadly speaking here.
Sure.
Do you believe that transgender Americans should have access to gender-affirming care in this country?
I believe we should follow the law. I mean, I think you're probably pointing to the fact that Donald Trump's campaign has spent tens of millions of dollars.
They're trying to define you on this.
Yes,
I'm asking you to define yourself, though. Just broadly speaking, what is your value? Do you believe they should have that access?
I believe that people, as the law states, even on this issue about federal law, that is a decision that doctors will make in terms of what is medically necessary. I'm not going to put myself in the position of a doctor.
I will move on, but I don't know that I heard a clear answer from you on the issue of gender-affirming care.
Yeah. All right. Give me your reaction to that one.
Well, that NBC reporter is going to be in the doghouse, I think, for asking these follow-up questions because you just don't see this. But Jody, that again is so revealing. We know, and again, let's just be clear, gender-affirming care, that is a euphemism. What does gender-affirming care actually mean? This refers to cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, and actual physical surgeries. This is chemical castration. And specifically, this is happening on minor children. And the left says it's not. It clearly is, which is why they oppose efforts to try to make it illegal for minor children. But it's just so interesting to me. Kamala Harris is totally in favor of this. We know she is. In 2019, when she filled out a questionnaire for the ACLU, she said she was totally on board with this. In fact, she thinks taxpayers should support it. She thinks illegal immigrants and prisoners should get these type of treatments. Kudos to President Trump. for bringing this issue up in the campaign. And I think Kamala Harris realizes this position is totally not popular with the American people. The vast majority of Americans do not believe in so-called gender-affirming care. And so, again, what do you see Kamala Harris doing there? You see a word salad, Jody, which, you know, she's become really good at these just word salads because she's trying to deflect. And I understand why she's trying to deflect. This is a position that's not popular with American people. But make no mistake about it, she is all in on this. She was as an attorney general, she was as a U.S. senator, and she has been as a vice president, and she will be if she's elected president of the United States.
Yeah, it's really frightening. How many of these issues directly oppose biblical teaching, and they're entrenched in embracing those things. Staying on the topic of the election, we've all been talking a lot about a recent George Barna survey that's gotten a lot of attention. But basically, the data is showing that the trend, at least, is that some 32 to 40 million self-identified Christians who regularly attend church are not going to be casting a ballot this year. What's your response to that?
Well, my response is I think that's a dereliction of our duty as Christians. And for any pastor, any ministry leader that's listening to this conversation, who's reading George Barna's survey, two principles, Jody, and we've talked about these before. As Christians, why do we care about politics? Why do we need to be out there voting? One, a love of neighbor. We love our neighbors as Christians, and can you say that you comprehensively love your neighbor if you're not engaging in the process that affects our basic rights and liberties and our freedoms? And stewardship, Jody. All of us have heard, if we've grown up in church, heard sermons on that we need to be good stewards of our time and our money. For those of us who live in a constitutional republic, you know, God calls us to be faithful stewards of everything he's entrusted us with, and I think for those of us, again, who live in the United States in 11 days with this election, we need to be good stewards of our vote. And I think we just need to make sure that our Christian friends and neighbors understand the stakes, Jody, because there are issues of clear biblical morality on the ballot: abortion, sexuality, marriage, a host of other issues. And my prayer, Jody, is that this survey that George put out actually has the effect of motivating Christians to turn out, because, again, out of love of neighbor and out of good stewardship, We need to be engaging.
Absolutely. Listen, David, always great to have you on. We've got less than about a minute or so, but real quickly, two more Sundays before the election. What would you say to pastors when it comes to navigating the next couple of Sundays?
Yeah, those two principles are a great place to start. Preach love of neighbor, preach stewardship. I think it's good to use your pastoral prayer to pray for the issue, to pray for the candidates, to pray for the elections. At FRC Action, Jody, we have 501c3 voter guides that I think pastors should order and make sure they're there in your church lobby. Let's pray. Let's lead our people in praying. But again, I think let's help our people realize this is one way we love our neighbor, one way we honor God with what he's given us by engaging on the election.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're not sure where your pastor is, ask. I know our pastor this Sunday is going to be dealing with things because some of us have gone to him and shared a lot of stuff. And he's going to be coming out and sharing some biblical principles. And listen, that's a good thing to just ask where your pastor stands. David Clawson, always great to have you. You better get back to your session in there. But thank you so much, as always, for joining us.
Thank you, Jody. God bless.
God bless you as well. All right, friends, that wraps up yet another week and another edition of Washington Watch. Have a fantastic weekend. God bless you. We'll see you next week right here on Washington Watch.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.